two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
They've offered their head coaching job to Will Hardy, assistant coach with the Boston Celtics. Hardy is planning to accept the job. They're just finalizing terms on a deal. But Will Hardy, who was with Ime Udoka in Boston this year, previously came up in the Spurs organization under Greg Popovich, 34 years old, really blew the Jazz away in their process. He made strong impressions on the Knicks a couple years ago in their interview process, Oklahoma City. It was just a matter of time before he got a job, and now he'll replace Quinn Snyder. So Will Hardy will leave Boston, join up in Utah, and he'll be there to coach Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, and this Jazz team that, they're trying to kind of reassemble here in the offseason and see if they can get him a little deeper in the playoff.
That's Woj, and that was the Woj bomb, of course, this afternoon. That was him speaking on ESPN about this hire. The Jazz haven't made it official yet, at least on paper. I know that makes probably their organization absolutely nuts, right? But here we are, wanting news, and that's what you get, is the Utah Jazz finalizing a deal, what looks to be, is reported to be a five-year contract from the Boston Celtics as their lead assistant here to Utah. Will Hardy, 34 years old, youngest active coach in the NBA is what is going to make him, and he was one of these four finalists. So of all the things that we're finding out of this interview process, Scott, it was that the Jazz were interviewing everybody a lot, and there were a lot of positions that they were looking for. Looks like it's not just the head coach, but also today, David Fizdale being assigned as the assistant GM to Justin Zanuck on this team, working under he and Danny Ainge. A lot of movement in that front office and on the bench for this Jazz team. Man, it feels good to actually, like, probably have a coach for this team, Scott. And I don't know enough about Will Hardy, but certainly over the last 24 hours, we found out much, much more about him because Ben Anderson did a write-up yesterday about who this candidate is, because it kind of came out that he was one of these lead candidates. They make a hire, it looks like, today. Your thoughts right off the bat here of the Jazz picking up on Will Hardy?
Well, I think it's again, part of that process of Ryan Smith saying, I can't do this alone. I don't have all the answers. I'm not a basketball mind, but I know I'm successful at business, and I know that in part of being successful, you hire the right people around you. I think with the Danny Ainge hire, with the association with Dwayne Wade, with David Fizdale now, and of course Will Hardy, I think these are people the Jazz feel excited about. This is not the Larry H. Miller Utah Jazz anymore. This is Ryan Smith's team. He's definitely making a stamp on everything with all of the things that have gone on. I think the Jazz are very excited about this. And I think you should be excited from a standpoint of a Utah Jazz fan. I don't want to read, and I've heard some of the other comments about him being young, and this looks like the Jazz are in a rebuild mode. I don't think that's the case. I really don't. I think I think it's a case of, okay, you know what? I'm gonna correct myself before I say anything. They are in a rebuild mode, or really, it's they're not rebuilding anything. They're building something, and I really believe it's building a championship culture. And I think Will Hardy is a guy who understands that culture. In fact, I would bet, and again, this is just my opinion. I don't have inside information here, but I would bet that in his interview process, this guy sat down and said, here, there's just a certain way you go about doing things. Yeah. This is how we did it with the Celtics, and this is what I learned with my time with the Spurs, and everywhere that I've been, that there's a process of success. There's a process of a championship culture, and I don't think that culture existed with the Utah Jazz before, and I think that's what Will Hardy's brought here to do. So if that means it's right now this year with this team, or 2 or 3 years down the road, I think the expectation is win a championship.
Well, I think
they wouldn't be sad if it happened in year one. Not saying it's going to, but
it happened for the Celtics year one with this group, right?
Right.
Ime Udoka brings him in. He's his lead assistant on the bench for one season. They go to the NBA Finals. And you've talked about this, not just about the NBA, but the NFL. We are done with the long-term rebuilds as the standard now, like of people just going, we're going to give you 4 or 5 years and you guys figure it out. The expectation is quick now, right? Not to necessarily win, but at least make some movement past to where you were. I mean, you heard, well, I'm getting ahead of myself here. I want to listen again to what Woj said, but we're going to kick the show off. We're so dang excited to talk about some of the movement that's been happening with this and the Jazz possibly hiring a new coach, and it's reportedly so, and it's reportedly going to be 5 years. The guy won't even be 30. He won't even be 40 yet before that 5-year contract is out. That's how young this cat is. Will Hardy, we're kicking the show off here. I want you to listen when we get back into this Woj talk here. But we start things off as we always do every day with the cuts. Let's jump in here.
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut presented by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care, the Jazz, RSL, and the Utah Trust. Visit uviewhealth.org. That's uviewhealth.org. Listen to Woj's comments again. There are a couple things that stood out to me. And it wasn't just about the process of, hey, it looks like the Jazz are going to hire Will Hardy. It's also what he says about Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, and what he said about what this team is trying to do. Take a listen.
They've offered their head coaching job to Will Hardy, an assistant coach with the Boston Celtics. Hardy is planning to accept the job. They're just finalizing terms on a deal. But Will Hardy, who was with Ime Udoka in Boston this year, previously came up in the Spurs organization under Greg Popovich, 34 years old, really blew the Jazz away in their process. He made strong impressions on the Knicks a couple years ago in their interview process, Oklahoma City. It was just a matter of time before he got a job, and now he'll replace Quinn Snyder. So Will Hardy will leave Boston, join up in Utah, and he'll be there to coach Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, and this Jazz team that they're trying to kind of reassemble here in the offseason and see if they can get him a little deeper in the playoff.
Is he going to be coaching Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert? I mean, he just said he's going to take over. He's going to be coaching Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. Is that just the Woj like that we get who goes, well, they're Utah Jazz, and so he's their coach right now, and so that's the way I look at it. Or is that a guy who goes, I don't see them leaving. I see this. And there's a part of me, too, Scott, that goes, you have to be as an organization. And these players have to feel pretty refreshed and energized by this guy who everybody loves, apparently, in the interview process. They're blowing him away. It was a matter of time, right? And the Jazz were the team who were able to steal them before bigger places were able to take him away. And so there were all those things that were in there, and out of all that, it sounded like Donovan and Rudy, those are guys that could still be coached by Will Hardy, and they're not looking to rebuild. They're looking to go further in the playoffs next season.
Well, let's just start if you're a Utah Jazz player. Okay, all the players want is to win championships. They want a legacy. It's not fun to have to sit and answer questions all the time of why we didn't do this and why we lost this year and all that. Everyone wants to win a championship. When you have an owner that's making a lot of moves, an owner that says, yeah, I'd be willing to buy a draft pick. Yeah, I'd be willing to go into the luxury tax. Yeah, I'm willing to get whatever personnel, whatever front office personnel, whatever coaching personnel, whatever it takes for this organization to win championships. I want a parade. Like I can't get over Ryan Smith saying that, and because it's so significant, because it's so personal. Like, you can just feel for him. He's just like, I want that parade. And so you got to be excited as a player to go, he's going to make the moves. Like, he's going to, so as a player, you go, yeah, I really like that. Now, as far as Woj's comment about he's going to be coaching Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, if a guy knows that there are trade rumors in the air, you know, or there's something happening with the Atlanta Hawks or the Chicago Bulls or whomever else, that there's been discussion about Rudy Gobert, if he knew that, then he would know that, okay, this new coach is walking into, you're losing one of the top 20 players in the NBA. There's a conflict here. There's a riff in the locker room. He didn't say that. He just said, you're going to be coaching Rudy Gobert. You're going to be coaching Donovan Mitchell, which leads me to wonder if this wasn't what was part of how he blew away the Utah Jazz. He said, Jazz probably asked him a question. Well, look at our roster. What do you think of our roster? We've got here's the guys we have. And so what do you do with them? How do you get the best Rudy Gobert? How do you combine that with Donovan Mitchell? And what other pieces need to fit in there for this to really work? I know that's a question I'd ask if I was going to hire a guy. Okay, this is what you're inheriting here. How do you turn that into a deep run in the playoffs, a team that can win a championship? And I have to believe that the answer to that, which we don't know, we're going to hear it. He's going to get hired. Someone's going to ask the question. He's going to go, man, I love Rudy Gobert. I love Donovan. But there's so much potential here. Whatever it is, I have to believe in it. And it's going to be a fun summer and really a fun fall leading up to what the Jazz look like, you know, next year. I mean, you have to be excited. Or maybe there's a trade. You know, maybe something does happen, whatever. I just think that it's so much about getting all of the right pieces in place. And I think it's a bold move. It certainly feels like Ryan Smith move. A young guy, a lot of energy, well respected, just needs an opportunity.
Danny Ainge hasn't missed on the two times he's made head coaching hires, right? And he's kind of taken a swipe at a really, really young guy. He's done the same thing before with Brad Stevens, right, where they go, hey, man, this guy, bringing him in out of college, out of a Butler program that, you know, admittedly, everybody looks and goes, look, he's had some success there. But then to say, oh, we need you to be in, you know, the NBA's number three market,
right,
you know, and like bring in, start, and to bring that team around. And Brad Stevens, by the way, still in the front office for the Celtics. And I don't know, Danny Ainge sees something in guys that we don't see. Will Hardy is this guy. Or what?
Or. Because I wanted to be excited in the beginning because I think there's another side
here
to this.
Comes negative Scott
now.
No,
it's not negative, but it's like, let's just look at this whole thing.
Tell me what it is.
Well, you just said it. So
Brad Stevens isn't the head coach anymore?
No. So if Danny Ainge, is scouring all of basketball and looking at all these things, and he ends up with a Celtic guy, with a guy that he knows from Brad Smith, because I'm sure Brad Stevens, Brad Stevens is sitting there saying, look, he's probably vouching for this guy, saying, he's the real deal. He's all of this stuff.
He's only had one season at this position as the lead assistant.
But Danny Ainge isn't going to go to Michael Jordan and say, so tell me about your hot assistant. Is he good? You know, I don't know that he has that relation. Maybe he does. Maybe he golfs with Michael Jordan all the time. What I'm saying is he has a relationship with the Celtics. And so you go, well, he's just hiring another Celtics guy because that's all he knows. Maybe he doesn't know all these people.
But he didn't hire Will Hardy, though, for this coaching step.
But he has the relationship with Brad Stevens.
I know that he knows these guys. I'm sure that he sat down and chatted. I mean, we saw Danny Ainge walk past Steve Kerr and congratulate him when they won the championship, a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And we're like, what's Danny Ainge doing in Boston? This is what Danny Ainge is doing in Boston. Okay? The season gets over and he's like, hey, Will, congrats, man. We still want to chat with you a little bit more about some stuff. Like, what are your plans here? Or you chat with Brad Stevens, you chat with Ime Udoka and you go, What do you like about Will Hardy or any of these other guys that we're looking at on your staff? Because they hired or they interviewed a couple of Celtics guys. And I don't know if – I mean, obviously, the biggest thing now is you can move on from the coaching search. Jazz fans are just going, you got so many dang things to do in this offseason. And the most important one – we asked Coach Chiesa about it yesterday. I said, I hope it's this week, but I don't think it's going to happen. Less than 24 hours later, they've reportedly got a coach now. So now you don't have to worry about that. And then it turns to the roster. What changes are going to be made? What is the style of somebody? Let me tell you, just from the very least of what you can expect out of a guy who just coached under Ime Udoka and a guy who came up with Greg Popovich, a guy who this season went from, in December, this team being a 500 or even below 500 for a moment, this Boston Celtics team, to being in the NBA Finals at the end of the year. What was the thing that was the signature deal for this Boston Celtics team was the tremendous amount of defense that they played. There's an effort. We heard this before. Effort. There needs to be defense. There needs to be defense. There needs to be some energy on that level. There's a standard that they have to live by. And that's what they're bringing in, is a guy who is, you don't have to convince on playing defense. And I love the idea of going to work, having this kind of blue-collar attitude about just put your head down and create insane defenders, and the offense will come. Because the Jazz already have the offense, Scott. The Jazz already have offense. They know how to shoot this freaking ball. I don't know if it's going to go away or fall off because of Quinn Snyder leaving and his system kind of being in place. But I think that the three-point style, which the Jazz live by, it can now be accompanied by a defense that we were hoping was going to come around, and it never did last year.
When we talked to Gordy Chiesa, Coach Chiesa, and we basically, you know, fairly elementary terms, said, okay, so if you do something in the draft, you're building for the future. If you do something in free agency, you're building to win right now.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, the Jazz didn't do anything in the draft. Signed a couple of guys, you know, two ways after. He said, it's really important to get your coach in place before free agency happens. So it feels like the Jazz's move is, we're going to have our coach in place. We're going to make a run at something. We're going to tweak this roster somehow, because we still feel like we can be very competitive this year and then build on where we are from this year. So it feels to me like this isn't a, and I know this goes contrary to what a lot of other people are saying, but if these thoughts are true, then it feels like the Jazz are a team that's actually retooling as opposed to rebuilding, or you could even say reloading instead of rebuilding.
Are we retooling? Are we rebuilding? Are we resetting?
Well, rebuilding means long term.
No, I know.
Retooling means, yeah, we're just finding a couple of
tools.
Yeah, I'm gonna find a. My dad used to have my mom go to the hardware store when he was doing a round, yeah. and he'd ask for this, some kind of crazy wrench.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like a left-handed.
Right. One that she'd have to go ask somebody about, and it was like.
And she says, that's not a real thing. And it actually was, you know. And she'd go to the hardware store, not having a clue.
Right.
But, yeah. Anyway, so getting that tool that no one really knows. Yeah.
Not reset. So not resetting, not rebuilding, retooling. Rekindling the relationship.
I think in some regards, I don't think this Jazz organization, I don't think everyone wants to just start all over again. I think they want to say, okay, maybe it's a step back this year. Maybe we don't win a championship, but maybe we're just so much more competitive than we were a year ago. Because in all reality, the Jazz just weren't a very competitive team. Didn't really beat anyone of any significance. Lost a lot of games that they had no business losing. They weren't inspired. They weren't cohesive. And I think the Jazz fan base wants effort. They want energy. They want people that this matters to. They want people that have a mindset and a culture that's just different than I think what's existed.
I just want everybody to know too. Think about what position you could be in today You could be the Utah Jazz getting a young gun, fresh new head coach that everybody thinks the world of, right? They're like, this guy's the next fill in the blank. I mean, he just is, and he has all this pedigree too about where he came from. Plus, he has this amazing kind of like Hallmark movie story, Scott, where he was an intern. He was a video intern with the Spurs. Worked his way up through Greg Popovich's system, right? He joined the Team USA staff before he joined the Celtics. And he's going to be 34 years old coaching the Utah Jazz, youngest active coach in the NBA. And I go, man, that's some pretty exciting stuff. Or you could be a Lakers fan and Russell Westbrook just opted into $47 million.
See, I have to, yeah.
You could do that. Or Kyrie Irving opting in at 37. You go, you know what? Maybe our, yeah, exactly. Well, maybe our issues aren't that bad.
But that's a great point, because even some of these former head coaches, like, they have a track record. You know about them. You've seen what they actually do. And right now with Will Hardy, you don't know. I mean, the sky is the limit with this guy. And I think that's one of the I think it's probably one of the things that Jazz liked. I think if you ask Ryan Smith and if he was honest about it, he'd say, yeah, I probably wanted a guy that had no baggage. I wanted a guy that had was talented, had a high ceiling, and that we could mold and we could work with, as opposed to someone who kind of comes in with maybe some of their own ideas and their own thoughts and their own issues, really. And so it's kind of an exciting venture. And and quite frankly, I think it's one of those things where I don't know the Jazz can really screw up on this, because he either is amazing, as everyone says, you know, amazing IQ, basketball IQ, well thought of, you know, checks all the boxes, or he's just inexperienced, and
it's going to take a minute.
And so, yeah.
How long you?
So I don't think the Jets. I don't think the Jets.
It's a 5-year contract. What are the expectations going to be, though? What are the expectations going to be? Because everyone looks at this and goes, "Well, he had this quick success in Boston, and that's what we expect nowadays. We had this quick success in Boston." And the guy who's a rookie coach takes a team to the NBA Finals against a juggernaut of a dynasty in the Golden State Warriors, and you go 6 games. And so I don't know. At some point, you
go, it's the Jazz roster.
Does it really matter what?
Get the right players in, and you'll go super fast,
right?
I mean look at Golden State when they got healthy. Like, as great as Steve Kerr was and Steph Curry, they were just okay until that whole team, Draymond got healthy and Klay Thompson got healthy and that whole team got healthy. Until then, they were fighting to be like a play-in team. And so there's, get the right players in and this thing will go boom. Even Coach Gordy said, look, everything changed for the Utah Jazz when they got that third person, and that was Jeff Hornacek. And it's true. I mean, Karl Malone and John Stockton were kind of it, and then it fell off dramatically from there.
Everybody's excited. I think everybody's excited today.
Eric Spoelstra, think about him.
Video coordinator. Yeah, young guy.
But if LeBron shows up and the whole list of characters, the Dwayne Wade and the whole crew there, yeah, why would you not win a championship? Come on. So, still got to have the players.
So be a former video coordinator for a team, be a young talent, but also get some superstars on your roster. That'll help too. All right, let's take the break. Boy, the guy's got a lot on his plate, right? As soon as he comes
What if Donovan, the Jazz got one more superstar player?
If Donovan and Rudy are having, team marital issues, and that's the thing, they go, hey, listen, welcome to the job. First things first. We need to mend that relationship. We need you to play marriage and family therapist, which is what Quinn Snyder wasn't willing to do. I know you just want to do basketball, but this is the head coach's job, is you've got to get these guys to get together chemistry-wise.
I think psychologist is the most important thing you do as a coach.
I
really do. You got to get people to buy in.
Part of the deal.
Buy days. Into it, man.
Let's take the break. We got a full dang show today. We're going to be breaking down a lot at the 4 o'clock hour. We're going to be joined by someone from Boston, with CelticsWire.com, with USA Today. We kind of want to know what type of a coach Will Hardy was before he's going to be out of town and headed this way over to Utah. Coach Tim Lacombe is going to also join us next hour. Going to break down a little bit that coaching search and what it means to get this kind of young blood in. And if he likes the hire that they made. I think we've all had a couple of hours now to kind of figure it out a little bit of who this guy is. And if not, go look up Will Hardy. Go find out what kind of a coach he was. Go see what his background is. What an interesting story. But I think that the Jazz feel like they got a really, really good one. So we'll come back. Got tons to cover still today, so you don't want to miss it. Stay with us. Unravel continues. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.